If you're new, this is a Sunday school class about the Ten Commandments, the practical guide to Christian living. And it's helping me, so I hope it's helping you to study them this closely. Let's open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time to study your word and for the beautiful sunshine this morning, which is the promise of the resurrection. We thank you for your son Jesus and the way that he is a good friend to us, always available to listen and to admonish us when we need it. We thank you for these commandments, these 10 simple laws that you've given us that provide for us a way to live in Christian community and to live in a way that honors and glorifies you. We thank you for this time again in Christ's name. Amen. So last week we were in number 2, shall not make for yourself a carved image. And we're moving on to the 3rd commandment this morning. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. We'll read that in a minute, but I think I want to just review briefly what we talked about last week. And the question I left you with was, what is one of the most valuable things that you possess? And I possess a valuable thing. It is my briefcase. It was embarrassingly expensive. But the tagline for the company that makes this briefcase that I own is, your children will fight over it. Okay. So they recognize the value of the briefcase, not simply in its durability for your lifetime, but its desirability for a second lifetime. And so there's this interesting connection between the things that we value and inheritance. So it should focus our thinking around the second commandment, because in the second commandment, he says, right, do these things, third and fourth generation, or the thousandth generation. So the thing that we love the most, the thing that we place in front of us, the things that we put before anything else, goes along with that is a sense of or an understanding of generation and inheritance. And the Lord thinks this way for us and is trying to teach us to think this way as well. Which starts to explain Numbers and all the other lineage that we have in the scripture, that this is a counting of the blessing, but it's also a demonstration of the Lord's thinking about, you know, the value of generations, the value of family, and how that's directly related to those things that we hold most valuable. And so I think when people think about inheritance now, they think about the money that will be passed down to them from their, you know, grandparents or parents or those kinds of things. But there's a connection here between the thing that you love the most and that which you think your children will inherit. So this third commandment is thinking along the same lines as the second, which is the first one, material objects that we create to manipulate and then attempt to worship God through them. And the third one being our attempt to manipulate the Lord through the Word, to control, possess, and then however we think we might be able to do that, invoke His name in order to have some kind of effectual impact in our life. So let's start at the beginning again of chapter 20. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I am the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation of those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. I want you to think about what names are for, and specifically, what are family names for? Yes, Sarah.
It became important in our family that Wallace is different than James because there is a William McChesney who has a J in the middle and one with a W. So for the first 10 years or so of our marriage, we were getting Dr. Bill's work. Dr. Bill was going to, they didn't know the difference between Bill and Will. Somehow they would get our address. So a name is useful for distinguishing one party from another.
Okay, so it's helpful when you want to call out a single person. It's helpful. Although we mix that up by giving people the same name, you know. But it is helpful, right? If you're going to call across a room, to be able to say, instead of, hey, you, to be able to say a person's name helps. Yes?
And so then when the media talks about God as being any God you make up, and you know, your God's fine for you, my God's fine
right.
for me, and it's all the same God, and God would say, no, it's not the same God.
Yeah, that is interesting to think about because you do hear people say, Muhammad, God, you know, these kind of things. Oh, they're just different words for the same person, right? And we could say, you know, in a similar fashion, we do have three names that distinguish three persons in the Trinity, but they are the same God. Although I do have three names as well, and I'm the same person, so thought about that before. My name is Joel Scott Ward. I have three names, but I am the same person. Okay. Yes, Russ.
Thinking about family names, there was an incident when I was much, much younger. Now, at the time, I did not know enough of my family history to know that actually that is.
Your dad was telling you a lie, or at least trying to reform the name, right?
We behaved quite well in that restaurant. So, family needs to have a reputation, they have a power of identity of keeping what your ancestors worked for and not defaming them.
Yeah, I mean, which is really helpful for us to start thinking out of the second commandment into the third. The Lord says, he's saying, think generationally with me about this problem. And then we start to look at the Lord's name. Like, what does his name mean to you? When we say the Lord's name, what does it mean? Does it mean, he is my father? I've been going over the sins that I've committed against my father in name. Reading through the third commandment. When I have dishonored him, right? And I'm not even talking about, you know, later on when it actually says honor your father in 5, right? I'm talking about simply just dishonoring the Lord because I spoke about my father in a particular way and he created him, right? So the object of his affection, and I diminish it, right? So it's very helpful to think about family names because, well, one, what we get in 2, and even actually I think what we get in all of the commandments, is these two themes that I think are helpful in the way that I think about it, and maybe they'll be helpful to you. The first is that, as we said in 2, the Lord does not reveal himself with hands or those kinds of things, even though that he's described metaphorically that way in Scripture. But he reveals himself in the Word. And so what you do with your mouth is really important. This is the this is the means of revelation. Okay? But the second thing that's also very interesting is that he reveals himself in generation. So we have this relationship between is very important, because if we did not know his name, how would we know him? There's this very interesting thing. So the CEO of Google, in response to a question about what are people going to do later in life when their entire life has been cataloged for them? You know, for instance, if Russ's fight with his brother had been recorded and then put on YouTube or some other social media site so that later his dad could embarrass him with this, you know, altercation. And Warrens would have a hard time giving up this legacy of Warrens are, you know, people who fight with each other, because there was the record. How do you live that down? And so he proposed, he said, well, I propose that probably in the future, young people will be able to, at will, change their names so that they no longer have to bear the consequence of their entire life being recorded and saved up for them so that they could never forget who they used to be, which is the work of the devil. Right? Satan does not want you to forget who you are. He wants you to keep your name. He wants you to say, you are a Warren. You will always be a Warren. You will never be a son of God. So I've been thinking a little bit about this. How would we know who we were if we all changed our names? We were all from families that nobody knew, you know. I mean, the RP Church, we get kind of maligned for comparing to whose family is whose and this connection, this. But it's a treasure. It is a treasure to see the faithfulness of God in generations. It is a treasure. And the Lord gives it to us. He says, you can call yourself one of my family. And so the third commandment is, do not take the name that I have given you in vain. Right? You are a child of God. I claimed you. You have my name now. What are you going to do with it? So like, oh, well, you know, I'm the Lord's son, whatever that means. You could even just think about how you carry your own family name forward. Every time I meet somebody and they say, oh, you're a ward, I go up like 2 notches. And I didn't do any of that work. That was the work of my grandfather Samuel and the work of my father Paul and the work of my uncle James. I did none of it. So there's a certain grace, right, in generations of people who give their name to children. Especially if the work that they've done is the work that honors the Lord. So family names are important, and so we've been given God's name. He's given it to us, and he says, now that you are my child, do not disparage the name that I've given you. Right? The second question I want to ask you is situations that you find yourself in where you might name drop. What are situations in which you would drop a name? You drop your family name. I'm related to Bill. Oh, yeah, Bill. Yeah, okay. What do you want? You know. McChesney. It's a long name. Yeah, it's going to take a while. It takes a while to build a legacy, to get a road named after you. Right? Can't just move somewhere and have that happen, right? Yes?
I can think of two reasons it is done.
Mm-hmm.
One might be to try to impress someone.
Okay.
Say, I know Senator Smith or Pastor so-and-so.
Mm-hmm.
But other times it might be done just to, it gives you an in, like maybe give you some instant trustworthiness. Like you mentioned earlier, your father, even if I had never met you, I've known your father mm-hmm. and three of your uncles and even lived with your Uncle Timothy for a while. So if it's all, this is Joel Ward Paulson, I have an immediate idea of who you are. And that could be incorrect, mm-hmm. I realize. But I think I immediately know something about you because I know your family history and your uncles and your mm-hmm. father and mother. So sometimes it's done to gain trustworthiness, maybe. Oh, you know the Lord. Oh, yeah, you must be all right.
Yeah, I want to think about that distinction because it's a really important one to make. And there it's there in what you said, but it's important. And I was thinking about name dropping, obviously, in the derogatory sense, in which you use a name to glorify yourself.
Oftentimes, yes.
I am associated with this person. You never drop a name and say, well, that person's way above me. They might know me. I don't know. You drop a name as if this person is like, hey, how you doing? You know, we're like this. Right? Oh, yeah, we hang out all the time. Right? Hey, we had coffee last week. Yeah. We talk about really important things. I know all his kids, too, you know. Versus me saying, I am the son of Paul Ward. I am the nephew of Jimmy Ward. That's a diminutive stature. I didn't do anything to earn that. I was born to my father, and he already had a brother named James. I did nothing. So I could say I am from this family, but no one's going to credit me with being born into the family, right? They might say, "Okay, well, we have a level of trust here because we know what kind of stock you come from." But there's a difference, right, to claim a family name. Now, some people might claim a family name because it gives you a certain amount of pride, right? Like, oh, I'm proud that, you know, I'm the son of Paul or something like that. But there's a difference there, and there's a distinction. And this is one clue into thinking about how it is, then, that we might actually take the Lord's name in vain, because I'm assuming most of us here are not the kind of people who use the name of Jesus Christ when we stub our toe. Or we might not say, oh my God, when something surprising happens. Okay. So for us, it's going to be a little bit more difficult to think, how do I take the Lord's name in vain? Because I could go hang out with my neighbor, and she could say, Jesus Christ, and oh my God, 30 seconds, 1 minute, 5 minutes, she said it 4 or 5 times. She says it so much that my daughter, she says, Jesus Christ. And my daughter Helen says, oh, where is he? Okay. Oh, he's not here. I actually wanted to say, yes, he is here. He's right here. You just called him. He's standing right next to you. Why are you talking like he's not right next to you? Right? It's very good to think about this in reference to Commandment 2, because the Lord wants you to not think about yourself as distanced from Him, but as right next to Him. Where is God? He's here. You don't need to shout for Jesus to be able to hear you. He is right with us right now. I shout at my kids because they're ignoring me and because they don't want to come near to me. But Jesus is never ignoring you. And He is always right next to you. And what the Lord is saying in Commandment 3 is, you don't need to invoke me. Why are you trying to take control of a situation that I already have control of? I am so close to you, you can't even feel it. So the invocation, right, is the distinction between saying, Jesus, I need you, right? When you're in a bad way, when you're praying over something that is difficult for you, sometimes people cry out to God, but maybe that's because they feel like he's far away. And you have to do that when you're talking to an idol because they are far away. They don't even exist. They're the farthest away they could possibly be. Well, the Lord says, don't take my name in vain. You don't need to call out to me like that. As if somehow your call is going to draw me nearer to you. I am already here. The foolishness, it's amazing to think about. The Israelites, the mountain is shaking and it's on fire. And they're like, let's bring the Lord closer to us by making a golden calf. When they had just said, we don't want to go that close. That's kind of scary. Moses, can you go up and talk to God and we'll spend some time with our golden calf here. So there's a lot of discussion about this, especially even in the Old Testament. You know, attempts by Saul and those kinds of things to use, you know, sorcerers and witches and those kinds of things. And this is a good way for us to think about this, because sorcery and witchcraft and other kinds of activity that attempts to control the spirit world is similarly fashioned in taking the Lord's name in vain. Because what you try to do is invoke and control something by using the name against it. Well, this actually kind of leads to my third question, so thank you, Bob. I can't always anticipate the direction, but sometimes I can. I want you to think about situations in which you say things without meaning it. Makes me want to weep. The number of times I've said things without meaning it. Because that cuts both ways. That cuts both ways. That could be the pious prayer. I'm doing this just because I think I'm supposed to. Right? And it could also be saying something unkind, right? Or just, you know, talking to people.
And I got up in the conversation, he said, I love you, bye. And I was, woo!
Wow. I'm not calling him
but
back in.
Yeah. Where it's a precious phrase mm-hmm. that you say to one particular person, meaning a particular thing, but when it becomes common, mm-hmm. you say, I've had my kids leave to go to school in the morning and say, good night, Mom, I love you. Oh, I mean, goodbye. 7 in the morning. Mm-hmm. And so it shows how quickly we get into habits. And so so sometimes we pray over a meal. Have we taken the name of the Lord in vain if we have prayed out of habit mm-hmm. instead of actually realizing we're coming before the throne of our God and thanking Him for what we're thanking Him for?
Yeah, that's a good example because it kind of brings us back to this previous problem of the use of the word my. Right? So we say, this is my car, this is my doll, this is my shoe, and then we say, this is my God. Right? And the habit of translating my into, now I possess this thing, rather than thinking of the claim, like the difference between saying, this is my shoe, and this is my Father. Right? I don't ever introduce my Father by saying, this is my Father, as if I were referring to my shoe. But it's easy to. So easy.
Excuse me, Joe. Do you think that, and I have been thinking about this stuff as it's going along, does the use of a word the interpretation of the use of a word. Okay, let's take a step back.
There's a lot of steps back, actually.
The use of a word actually impacted by motive.
Well, I quote Luke 6:45 to my students all the time. Okay, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. It's an overflow. It's coming out of your heart. Okay. Right. So you have to think about how you talk all the time, not just some of the time. How do I talk all the time? Right? I mean, one of the things that when we talk about the Ten Commandments as a practical guide to living, we're not talking about the time that we occasionally muse over the Ten Commandments. In fact, you might even say that the Lord has identified 10 habits of human beings. I mean, He's had a lot of time to watch and observe. 10 habits of human beings, and He pinpoints each one of them. And He says, if you just did this one thing, you took care of names that I cherish and honor. You'd be in better shape. The words that would come out of your mouth would do much more honor to the people and the things that are around you rather than, right? Or even if you spoke thinking about your own name. Not even mine. But if you spoke as if your name depended on it.
You know, my question is going to be this one. Maybe an offshoot. Sometimes they are joined in a way that they are inseparable, but they impact who you are. You see, you become so familiar with something like, for example, I'm an engineer. Different in engineering profession, but I do certain things in a way that it becomes a habit, and in every profession, that's what your employer wants you to be. when you're doing it, it just flows. And I don't know, we as children of God become so familiar with God. And I think that's why he wants, because Jesus encourages them, that we are so much into God and God is so much into us, that our prayers is an overflow of even the scripture. And we don't even have to think about it. It just happens. You see, nothing is just chopping, and we don't have to stand and think, so strongly about a word until we utter. You know, we utter it. So that there is just smooth, seamless flow of fellowship and the utterance of, you know, of the words that will upgrade everything.
You're describing heaven.
Yeah. You know, as strongly as you would think about things that you're not familiar with, but it's just an overflow. You see. So does that contract there, in any way, the intentional thinking about you know, the name of God or something before, you know, otherwise it becomes an issue.
Well, and what I don't want to do is conflate family names with being part of the family of God, right? I mean, I think this is why later we have admonishment that says you need to be ready to give up your family to be a servant of Christ, because that's a totally different name. And adoption means you lose your name and you take the name of a new family, right? And that's difficult for us to do. We don't want to just kind of say, oh, well, I'm not a ward anymore. Right. Although I think that I think that there's demonstration of the Lord honoring generations. Right. He doesn't say you have to give up your name to be a part of the family of God. Right. In fact, all these names are mine anyway. But I do hear what you're thinking in regards to kind of being so involved in the Word and Scripture that this is what comes out of your mouth. Right. But that means you would probably say less. Right. Because the Lord doesn't speak as much in that sense. Right. Very pointed and directed, right? But it is wise then to think carefully about situations or phrases, something that we say without meaning it, right? Without meaning it. Because after we have to think, then what are our reasons for saying something that we don't mean? Yes.
What about the opposite, saying positive things that we don't mean?
It's the same.
You know, many times I've gone to performances, and afterwards the student and their parents obviously want praise. If I give unstinted musical praise, I'm lying. If I give unstinted frankness, I'm destroying a relationship. And according to the psychologists, I'm destroying a child's life. So I think of something I can say. My, that dress attractive, it's just perfect for you today. Or, my, I'm sure you're glad to have this out of the way now.
Well, and I do believe it's true that people expect words even when they're not helpful. But you have to think carefully then about the meaning that, so, you know, like what Sarah is talking about is the meaning is kind of spread out. And so the amount of meaning that I love you has gets spread out into the frequency of it saying, to the point in which you're like, well, I hope that one time it didn't mean very much to that person because it was said to the wrong person. Right? So there's a lot of directions we could take this to think, okay, you know, be people of careful speech, be people of quiet or be still or those kinds of things. We could all say we could just talk less. Wouldn't that be great? You know, those kinds of things. But I think one of the things I want to hone in on carefully, right, is this relationship that we have with God, and the desire, right? The desire to take glory that is his, which he has hidden. The Lord has hidden his glory, surprisingly. Even in the person of Jesus Christ, the glory that was in him was hidden. The transfiguration kind of was like, whoa, okay, Jesus, can you put the skin back on? And everyone's like, Moses, could you put a veil on your face, please? Because that is too much. There's too much glory reflecting off your face. To take the glory that is God's, which he himself has hidden, and either one, try to take it and make it our own, or two, unmask it. To reveal what God has hidden. Right? I'm going to, you know. There's a lot of things to say about this that I won't say in this kind of setting. But I do think that it's important for us to think in this third commandment, the Lord says, do not take my name in vain. Right? And I think about, there are some, you know, musical traditions in the church in which the name of God is repeated over and over and over and over and over and over again, fruitlessly. Okay? But I want you to think about that. The Lord says, don't take my name in vain. And then you have to start thinking, when should I call upon the Lord? When and how? I even teach my own children to not use my name in vain. Because it won't help them. In the long run, if they just keep saying my dad, 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 like background, okay? We teach our call when you need me, okay? Call when this happens. Call when this happens, okay? But don't just go around saying this repeatedly, 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 and just saying it kind of because. Like, I don't have anything else to say, dad. Mom, 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 mom. I don't have anything else to say. I'm just going to say this over and over and over again. I'm just going to practice this word. See how it works, right? Mm-hmm. Well, and then there's a switch, and then they just keep saying it anyway. Okay. But we are God's children, right? I love to think about the way children behave. And yes, it is wonderful to see children call you until finally you're like, yes, what do you want? Okay. So it is true that the Lord is ready and willing to respond. Okay. But sometimes children actually say that without the response that they want. You know, they don't really want the response they get. Okay. So, to kind of repeat myself, but I want to give you kind of an example that has to do with saying things without meaning it. Okay. And so I do this when I want to make people laugh. Right? I want some self-glory. I want that thing. I don't want to be glorified. And one of the ways that we do that is we get people to laugh at us or to laugh about things that we've said. And it would be important for you, I think of the instances in which you feel that or you sense that particular point in which you have said things without meaning it. So many things. Okay. And yeah, that's one of the ways I use it. All the time. In fact, that is the perfect way to say things without meaning it.
in any superficial way. Not to say that those things don't mean anything, but in the long form, you think about how damaging those things are. You think about what Jesus says about his name and our name. And I think about if God is saying, don't take my name in vain, and in a way, especially following the first two commandments, you can say, listen, you can either make my name great or you can try to make your name great. And sometimes I wonder if, maybe this is going too far, but I wonder if the warning against that, the Lord will not hold anyone guiltless who takes his name in vain, to say, if you're trying to make your name great instead, if I apply the standard for a great name against yours, you lift that name up. It's not going to hold. And one of the most cutting things that Jesus says, but it's a call back to the third commandment, he says there will be a day when many will say, Lord, Lord, and I will say, I never knew you. And every time I read that, I just think to myself, ouch. The worst thing you can say to someone is just, you know, turn your back. And yet you think to yourself, Jesus is watching the way in which you conduct yourself, lifting his name up or saying that you do. And then finally in the moment, because we've had this happen in personal relationships too, when someone finally to your face wants to be recognized as your friend. And in a way you want to say out loud to them, where were you? Where have you been? I don't know you as a friend. This relationship you're trying to pretend that we have, we don't have.
Can I follow up on what Edward's saying?
Yeah.
I agree with that, and I think this actually comes up in one of Russ Warren's classes, either the last one or one before. The literal meaning of the English word vain, in that sense, not vanity, vain, is to make something purposeless or useless. And so think of the war hero that throws himself on the hand grenade and is killed. Did he die in vain? No, he did not. You say 3 years of comrades and went on to afterward to marry and raise, you know. So the danger in something like your neighbor is always saying, Jesus Christ, or oh my God. We've reduced it in many times to a fundamentalist moralist, and that's a swear. No, the fact is you made Jesus useless there. You made him purposeless, not worth anything. And I think that's the danger more than worrying about you said swear word. You know what I mean?
Well, and actually what you find is that people who think that the Lord's name, Jesus Christ, and the name of our Father God is worthless,
right,
use his name the most.
But in vain.
Yeah, because he will not come for them. Well, thank you. Those are all very helpful and focusing comments. Next week, we're in the fourth commandment, which will be a contentious one, I'm sure. Well, thank you for your time. Let's close our time in prayer. Heavenly Father, what a blessing it is. We thank you and praise you for the life that we can live in your family, for the names that you have given us, and the name that you give us, son and daughter of God. We thank you, Lord, again for the leisure that we have to spend in this time, for the fellowship and the encouragement it is to do it together. Bless us this day, Lord, as we go forth in our speech, in the way we speak to you, and the way we speak to others. In Christ's holy name, amen.